Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. Again, Erev Shabbos. We are on the Asaros Yemei Teshuva, of course. So this year, tonight, we have two sponsors. I thank both of them very, very much. Really, these two sponsors are the first sponsors of the year of Tavshin Pei Beis. So Adam Mail is sponsoring is a Refuah Shalema for Esther Bas Malka Braina Besoch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. And Gail Hoffman is sponsoring in honor of Kenai Nahara, her and her husband's 53rd wedding anniversary, Kain Yerbu, as well as a refuah shleima for Achanan Pesach ben Sara, Shlomo ben Sara Dina, and Tuvia Moshe ben Perel. May they have refuos in the zchus of the Torah that we will share this evening. I thank both Adam and Gail, who are my dear friends who learn with me in a number of venues, for their generous sponsorship and really for being the first sponsors of the new year, so to bring many zchuyot to you and your families and to refuos to the cholim that we just mentioned who are in need of rachamei shamayim. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing, and today it is Minyanu Dioma, very much a shir that is based on the time period of the year. It is for the Aser Yemei Teshuva, based on three different Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. So I'm going to go by screen sharing and showing you the three. Where am I? Right here. 1 second. Okay, could you see it says Avos 218 at the top of my screen? Okay, and also I see my mother now. Hi, Ima. Good evening. Thank you for coming as well. So here we go. Okay, we're going to look at three different teachings in Pirkei Avos with you, if you will, and each one you will see relates very strongly to the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and I think it's going to be for obvious reasons why I chose to focus on these Mishnayos. So Pirkei Avos in Perek Beis in Mishnah Yirchas, here you have Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, "Hey, veizahir b'kriya shema uba tefila, you should be very careful." Excuse me, on guard when it comes to the Kriya Shema and Tefillah. G'sha'ata mispalal, and when you daven, al ta'as tefillas ha'keva. You shouldn't make your prayer by rote or by routine or by habit. El ha'racham yivisachanunim lifnei ha'makom baruch hu. It should be with mercy and supplication before the Holy One, blessed be. So the theme of this Mishnah is the theme of Tefillah. The Mishnah is advising you as to how to daven. And it's interesting that Adam is one of our sponsors, because me and Autumn learned for many, many years, our tefillah class learning specifically every other morning, Autumn, we learn together. So this Mishnah is the theme of tefillah. When you pray, it should not be fixed. It shouldn't be routine. It shouldn't be off by heart. It shouldn't be without thinking or without feeling, because it's something that you do every single day. It should be with mercy and supplication before the Almighty. And then the end of the Mishnah also tells us you shouldn't be wicked in your own eyes. I actually gave a shir on that right before Rosh Hashanah, in a different venue. So the theme of tefillah. Now we move to Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chaf Beis, like you see on my screen. Hu haya Omer, he used to say, this is Rabbi Yaakov from the previous Mishnah. So Rabbi Yaakov used to say, Yafa sha'a achas b'teshuva u'maisim tovim ba'olam haza, 1 hour, 1 moment, 1 act of repentance and good deeds in this world is better mikol chaye ha'olam haba. So however amazing you imagine the next world is, you should know that you can access even greater bounty and riches than the next world while you're in this world, and that is through repentance and good deeds. However, the Mishnah balances is that, and Rabbi Yaakov says, but 1 hour of bliss for the soul is better in the next world than all of life in this world. So what is the theme of this Mishnah? The theme of the first Mishnah we looked at was obviously tefillah. The theme of this Mishnah is teshuvah. And finally, the third Mishnah that I want to focus on, Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Tazayin, Arba Midos Binosnei Tzedakah. So I do really try to not just teach based on Pirkei Avos in this series, but to keep in mind the time period of the year. And what do you see? The three themes in these three Mishnayos are delineated as Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. And these are the tripod, the three legs upon which Ma'avirin Esrawa HaGezeira depends. Erasing the evil decree depends upon these three pillars. So the final Mishnah that we're going to look at here is Arba Midos Binosnei Tzedakah. There are four temperaments or character traits when it comes to giving charity. Harotze Sheyitein Velo Yitnu Achirim. He wants to give. He wants his name to be on every building. He wants to be honored at every single dinner. He wants to have the mezuzah in every base of Knesset that's built in town. He wants to give, and nobody else should give. So he's not giving tzedakah so that the poor people should have money, or because it's a mitzvah from the Torah, Patoach Tiftach Es Yad Chalachicha Avion. He's giving tzedakah because he wants to have godless for himself. He wants covered with the recognition that, oh, he's such a baal tzedakah. So in other words, one who gives, but other people should not give. Einu ra b'shalachirim, his eye is stingy, his eye is bad when it comes to other people's possessions. In other words, it seems to be contradictory. He wants to give so much, but it's only for his own covered. He doesn't want you to give because he wants the covet of only giving. However, yitnu achirim v'hulo, yitain einu rab b'shalo. You have another midah. Everyone else could give tzedakah. I don't need my name on a building. I don't need a mezuzah dedication. I don't need to be honored at the dinner. I don't need a tax write-off. This mitzvah is not for me. Everyone else should give. I'm not going to give. So obviously his eye is stingy vis-a-vis his own self. He doesn't want to part with his own possessions. Yitain v'yitnu achirim chasid. I'm going to give tzedakah. You're going to give tzedakah. Like this will hold up the world and the aniyim, aniye ircha, aniye ir acharas. He is a chassid. He is a pious person. Chassid in the language of Chazal does not mean chassidim like we have today. It means a pious person. Lo yitain velo yidnu acharim rasha. The guy who doesn't want to give tzedakah and nobody else should give tzedakah is a rasha. So here we have, I chose three different mishnayos from three different prakim, perek beis, perek dalet, and perek hei, respectively, in Pirkei Avos. The first one deals with the theme of Tefila, ukesha ata mitpalel, al ta'as tefilascha keva. Ela rachamim, the sachanunin lefnei makom baruchu. When you go to shul and it's Rosh Hashanah and it's aseres yemei teshuva and you're saying shir amos mimam akim after yishtabach and you're saying the avinu makedu and you're saying the david Hashem uri and you're saying shema koleinu and this afternoon in mincha you added aneinu if you were fasting, hopefully. So don't just say it by rote because you have to get through the pages in the siddur. Put yourself into the tefila. Second Mishnah we looked at, Perek Dalet, the godless, the grandeur, the tremendous power of teshuvah and good deeds, repentance, it's better than life in the entire next world. Imagine what the power of repentance is. And finally, we went to Perek Hay, and the topic is tzedakah. It shouldn't be you want to give, but nobody else could give. It shouldn't be everyone else could give, but you're not going to give. It shouldn't be nobody should give, not you or them. It should be you want to give tzedakah. And everybody else should give tzedakah too. So clearly, these three mishnayos, the first one is about tefillah. I went not in order of what we say in the Nisan Tokev, which is teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, but rather in the order of the mishnah based on what chapter it appears on. So the first one deals with the topic of tefillah. The second one deals with the topic of teshuva. And finally, the third one deals with the topic of tzedakah. And these are the three pillars upon which the ma'aviren es roa ha-gezera is eradicated. How do you erase the evil decree? We said it on Rosh Hashanah. We will say it on Yom Kippurim. Excuse me. Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah it is written, and on the fast day of Yom Kippur it is stamped how many will pass and how many will be created. Who will live? Who will die? Who in his time and who before his time? Who by water? We had terrible flooding just last week, Rachmana Litzan. Who by water? Who by sword? Who by wild animal? Who by hunger? Who by thirst, etc.? Mie ani umeya asher? Who will become impoverished? Who will become rich? Who will be lowered down? Umi yarum? Who will be raised up? And then we say, usashuva, usafila, utsidaka, ma'avirin esroa hagazera. And repentance and prayer and charity erases the evil decree. So we looked at the three Mishnahs at Mishnayos, and now I'm going to begin by quoting from Rabbi Salvechik, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, etc. This is commentary of the Rav to the Machzor of Rosh Hashanah. Utsadaka and charity, says the Rav. Okay, commentary by the Unisana Tokef when we recite this supplication in the liturgy of the Yamim Noram. And charity. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, says the Rav, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah 16b, I did not look up the Gemara, derives the principle that charity is part of the teshuvah process from the verse that states charity saves one from death. It's a very famous pasuk. You all know tzedakah tatzil mimaves. Tzedakah saves a person from death. So therefore, we deduce from here, the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that tzedakah is actually part of the teshuva process. So many batei knesio now have a Yom Kippur appeal, and I'm sure you're getting emails like, I am from Hatzalah and Yad Eliezer, and whatever tzedakah you support, it's an integral part of the teshuva process. It's not like, remember we saw in the Mishnah, let everyone else give. I already gave enough. You can't say you gave enough. The year just started. And it was just Rosh Hashanah. He didn't give on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because it was Rosh Hashanah. It's Muktzah. So that means today was Gimel Tishrei. So this was the first opportunity you had to give tzedakah. It's an integral part of the tshuva process because tzedakah, tatzil mimavish. We want to get into the Sefer HaChaim, not in the Sefer HaMavish. And one of the keys is this idea of tzedakah. Yitain v'yitnu achirim, says the Mishnah. You should give. Everyone else should give also. That's a chassid. That's a pious person. An even earlier source can be derived, the Rav says, interestingly, from the Chumash itself. Immediately after the episode of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, Hashem commanded the Jews to donate in order to build the Mishkan. Okay? Without getting into the timeline in full detail right now, after Chet HaEgel, when Hashem finally forgave them, Moshe came down, it was Shivas Arba Tamas, he broke the Luchos, we have a process of sets of 40 days where Moshe daven. On Yud Tishrei, Yom HaKippurim, God said, Salachti Kivarecha. Moshe came down from Har Sinai holding the two new luchos and God's forgiveness. And on Motzei Yom Kippur, they didn't call it Yom Kippur, they called it Yud Tishrei. Motzei Yud Tishrei, they started the donations for the Mishkan. So immediately in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, Hashem said, now we're going to do V'yidnu V'yichuli Truma me'ez kol isha sher yidvenu libo tichu es trumasi ve'ezosa truma ter tikach me'itam perachav hei sefer shmos zaha ve'kasef v'nechoshes tcheles argaman tola ashani sheish izim. The Jews had to donate in order to build the Mishkan in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. Does Hashem really need a Mishkan? Why did the Jews really need to donate? God created this whole beautiful world. You know what he could have created? He could have created a Mishkan also if Hashem wanted there to be a Mishkan to serve him. So it wouldn't have been so fantastically unbelievable that a Mishkan would come down from Shemayim and there you would have a Mishkan. The answer is God taught the Jews that giving tzedakah was part of the process of teshuvah for Chet HaEgel, the worship of the golden calf. They cannot give tzedakah to poor people in the desert, says the Rav, because there were no poor people. It was, quote, a classless society. Everyone had the same exact food. You could taste whatever you want. It tastes like, but you had the same exact food. You had water from the same rock. You wore the same garments for 40 years. Your shoes didn't outgrow. The Ananea covered, washed your garments and pressed them for you. You all lived in the same kind of tent. So who are you going to give tzedakah to? There were no beggars, quote, or paupers in the desert. They were told to donate to the Mishkan, and this was a form of their tzedakah. Sin, says the Rav, is a result of selfishness. Why is it a result of selfishness? I want, I need, I feel, I have. So therefore, I could talk Lashon Hara about you because I feel greater than you. I could steal from you because I want what you have. I could eat basar b'chala because I have a great time and I don't care what Hashem wants. Sin results from selfishness. When temptation, you have a taiva, overrides sacred principles. Therefore, tzedakah, in contrast, denotes the very opposite of selfishness. If sin results because a person is selfish and they only want for themselves, I'm not going to give tzedakah. Nobody else should give tzedakah either. He's a rasha. So tzedakah is the very opposite of that. If sin is selfishness, then tzedakah, in the words of the Rav, is sympathy, compassion, and a willingness to share with others. For this reason, forgiveness can only be attained through tzedakah. Now, many people, I'm sure, we do not do chickens personally. Our family minig is not to do chickens for kaparos. So maybe some of you, like us, do money. It is an integral part of the teshuva process. Furthermore, says Rav, so that's one nekuda that he points out. Well, he already pointed out a few nekudas. First of all, quoting the Gemara says, tzedakah tatzil mimavesh. So part of teshuva is tzedakah. Second nekuda from the Rav, in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, the people were commanded to build the Mishkan. It was a form of tzedakah when there were no people to give tzedakah to. Third point that the Rav just brought up is that sin is a result of a selfish personality. Tzedakah is a result of a giving personality. If you want to counteract the sin that came about because you were selfish, give to somebody else and demonstrate to God you are selfish no longer, you're a giving person, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will give to you. Furthermore, next nekuda of the Rav, tzedakah serves as a kind of ransom. A ransom. A sinner is a captive. He is a prisoner to the Yetzer Hara. In order to redeem himself, he must pay a ransom. And therefore, the Torah describes the half shekel offering, which, by the way, is the exact same parsha. It's very interesting as Chet HaEgel. It's the beginning of the parsha of Chet HaEgel. Kitisa, it's called a kofar. The half shekel is described as a kofar nafsho, the same word as Yom Kippur. Kippur, kapara, kofar, just change the fe into a pe. It is an atonement for the soul. So when they came in ancient times, in desert times, in biblical times, and they gave the half shekels, the yearly contribution to the upkeep of the sanctuary, that was a kofar nefesh. It was an atonement for the soul because it shows that you're paying ransom to get out of jail. Says the Rav, I'm skipping. Why did the Torah, I skipped. Why, if you want to read it for yourself, because I'm not going to get through any of the other material I prepared if I go through this whole piece of the Rav, it's Machzor Masoros HaRav LeRosh Hashanah, page 510. You could look up the parts that I skipped. It's worth learning, just I don't have time. Because I'm trying to go through an insight for tzedakah and tefillah and teshuvah. Okay, so high sights I set for tonight's year. Why did the Torah, every year, not only tonight. Why did the Torah establish the institution of charity, says the Rav, as a financial obligation? It's not something you could do if you want to do or you don't want to do. It's a we have a financial obligation. Pasoach tivtach es yarcha elachicha evyon. Your heart should not be hardened and you shouldn't feel bad when you're giving. You have an obligation to open your hand. You have an obligation to leave a corner of the field, pay a leka and shichacha. We have a biblical obligation to give charity. Why? Quote, Hashem wanted to ingrain within us the concept that the money is not ours. It is His. And whatever He gives us is conditional on our giving tzedakah. Interestingly, now the Rav quotes Pirkei Avos, but not a Mishnah that I chose to focus on. Pirkei Gimel Mishnah Zayin, give him from his own. Tein lo mishalo. What do you mean give God from his own? Everything you have is God's. So when you give away what you have, you're really giving away what God gave to you. Tein lo mishalo. Give God what is His, meaning what you have is not yours. It's Hashem's. For you and your possessions are His. So the attitude of giving tzedakah must be, God gave this to me. It is not mine, and therefore, of course, He obligates me to share with others. If He is sharing with me, then I have a chiyuv to share with somebody else. So these are some ideas of tzedakah based on insights of Rav Soloveitchik. I'm now going to quote from a very interesting piece that I read in Mishpacha magazine. A month or so ago, Mishpacha had a supplement on like business. It was I don't know if anybody saw it. They don't usually have it. It wasn't a regular piece. It was a business supplement with many different articles. So this is about tzedakah. And I cut it out the time. Excuse me. I actually thought I was going to teach it. Remember, I had to cancel shir 2 weeks ago. So this just one piece was supposed to be, this is a new shir that I prepared for tonight. But this one story was supposed to be part of that shir 2 weeks ago. So now I'm saying it over tonight. What do we need money for? Unfortunately, I cut out the page, please forgive me, without the first page, so I don't know who the authors were. Okay, usually I try and be very masculine. But what do we need money for? The aspirations of a Yid should not be to make money to get into Forbes magazine, to have parnasa, nikia, vikala, to support one's family honestly, and through easy means. Lo al yidei matnas basar v'dam. Maybe some of you like me ate bread tonight with your after fast meal and then you're at the bench. And we say, lo al yidei matnas basar v'dam. We should not have our parnasa through the hands of human beings. V'lo lidei halvasam, and not through their loans or handouts, but rather from you, Hashem. And now, the richest and wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech himself said in Mishlei, keep lies, sheker, and false words far away from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Provide me with my daily bread. So Shlomo HaMelech said, it's Mishlei Lamed, Pasuchas. Don't give me riches, don't give me poverty. Give me enough what I need for right now. Wealthy people, continues the article. Again, I can't quote the authors, unfortunately, because I didn't save the cover page of this article. I didn't realize it wasn't on purpose. Wealthy people often feel they have no friends. Perhaps everyone is just after their money. Having parnasa that is enough to pay the bills and put away savings, but not something to cause major anguish, is something to be thankful for. The important thing to remember is the point of having is to share. And that's the idea that the Rav was saying. It's a ransom. It shows I want to give to somebody else. It shows I am no longer selfish. It shows my understanding that Hashem gave me what I have and it's not mine in the first place. And then the Gemara tells of Rav Elazar. I didn't look up the Gemara because the article doesn't quote where in the Gemara it is, which I try and be very makbid when I quote, I always tell you where the Gemara is. The Gemara tells of Rav Elazar. This is a great maaseh from the Gemara, who is an exceptionally great Baal Tzedakah. Whenever the Gabbais came and asked him for money, He gave away whatever he had. Before his daughter's wedding, his wife gave him a bag full of money and told him, go buy all the things our daughter needs to set up her new home. The Gabbais saw Rav Elazar with this bag of money from his wife, and the Gabbais tried to evade him. They knew if they met him, he would give them all that money. They knew he was making a wedding for his daughter. They knew he needed parnasa to support his daughter. It was too late. He, Rav Elazar, saw them, and the article says that this is a Gemara, and decided he was meant to give them all his money. If I met you, it must be Bashir. Here's all my money. When they refused to take it, all the money, he said, okay, you take the whole thing, I'll keep one zuz. It was a currency of money, zayin, vav, zayin, zuz, in English, z-u-z, okay? So as not to have to rely on miracles to marry off his daughter. So he doesn't want to rely on miracles. He gives the whole bag of money away, he keeps one. By the way, zuz is milashon, to move, okay? Anizaza min ha'makom means I'm moving from the place. The Medrash teaches this past year in Parshas Bo, he taught the Medrash inside, Bo or Bashalach, maybe Va'era or Bo, that the Medrash says Kmani is called Zuzim because it moves from hand to hand. That's what the Medrash says. So that further reiterates our idea that what Hashem gives us is not for me to keep. I need to have enough for myself, but I need to make sure it's moving to the hand of somebody else. So when they refused to take it, he decided to keep one zuz from the bag. Now I'm ein somchen al anis. I'll keep one coin, you could have the rest. Okay, he goes home. When Rav Elazar's wife saw that he came home, she asked her daughter, the kala, so what did he buy? So the daughter said, I don't know. I saw him toss something into the barn. Rav Elazar's wife went to the barn and she saw it was bursting with wheat. He took his zuz, he bought a kernel of wheat, and that single kernel of wheat reproduced many times over. She called her husband and she said, look at this. You gave all the dowry money to tzedakah. Look at your schar. Look at the reward for giving everything away to tzedakah. This is straight from Hashem. This barn full of wheat is worth far more than the money you had. Okay, said Rav Elazar. Then take what we need from the wheat and give the rest to tzedakah. Comments the article. A naturally stingy person may feel if he's generous, the bracha of abundance will escape him. But the amount of bracha we see is based on the efforts we make to become more of a giver. When we start giving, Hashem will give to us. And I think I gave a shiur this morning on Kapitel Kuf Lamed. I don't know if some of you listened to it or not, but I think also Kapitel Kuf Lamed, chapter 130, is a quiet, perhaps unnoticed aspect of the Aseres Gemei Teshuvah, and I focused on this morning. It is recited every morning of the Aseres Gemei Teshuvah after Yishtabach, and I feel that the topic of tzedakah is perhaps also a little bit unstudied when it comes to the Aseres Gemei Teshuvah. We spend a lot of time talking about Teshuvah. I spend a lot of time talking about Teshuvah, teaching about Teshuvah, hopefully engaging in Teshuvah. Ben Adam Mechaver, Ben Adam Makom Kabbalas. But there are three pillars that erase the evil decree. One is Teshuvah, one is Tefillah, but the third is Tzedakah. The Sefer HaCharedim, one more paragraph from this article, tells us when we look at others with a generous eye, we bring down blessing upon the person we're looking at and also upon ourselves. If you remember, the lashon of the Mishnah was, Eino ra'ah bishelo. If you have a bad eye when it comes to giving, so you have a bad eye vis-a-vis others, so you want to give for kavod, no one else should give. You have a bad eye towards them. Or let them give. I don't give. You actually have a bad eye towards yourself and your own possessions. Our inclination is to think this world's goods are limited. And if I give away my stuff, I won't have. It's limited. That, of course, is the farthest thing from the truth. Hashem is the Ein Sof. He is without end, without limitation. When we forgive wholeheartedly, when we enjoy another person's success, even more, when we contribute to someone else's success, we will see more success ourselves. So this is on the pillar of tzedakah. I really can't believe the time, and we started on time because I thought I was going to get through all the insights I prepared on tzedakah and tefillah and teshuvah. I'm going to try, but we'll see. When it comes to tefillah, Remember, we began with three Mishnayos from Pirkei Avos. One was the theme of Al Tas Tfilas HaKevar. One was the theme of how great is Tshuva Maisim Tovim Ba'olam Haza Mikol Chaye HaOlam Haba. And the third was, that was on Teshuva. And finally, we looked at Tzedakah. So we went a little out of order. We spoke about Tzedakah. I want to now share a story from Yamim No'raim with the Maggid by Rabbi Pesach Kron in regard to the power of Tefillah. Some of you may have the Sefer and you have read it already. Someone told me she bought as per my recommendation. I didn't tell the story over yet in a shir. New for tonight. If you read it, you're going to hear it again. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells over the story that happened on Yom Kippur with Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal. Some of you may be familiar with him. He was a world-renowned Talmud Chacham, also known after his work, the Sridei Eish. After the Holocaust, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, I don't remember if he was in hiding or what it was, he thought he was the only Jew left in the world. Remember, after the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, but the Bechira sleeps with her father and encourages the Tzeira to do so as well. They really thought there was no one else left in the world. They didn't have Google Maps and WhatsApp, and they didn't know it was only five towns on the plain that were over destroyed. They thought it was the whole world. And if we don't have the Hakim Zera Miavinu, if we don't establish seed from our father, there will be no one here. So I remember reading, I don't remember where, that after the war, Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg thought, am I the only Jew left in the whole entire world? Before World War II, he was Rosh Hashiva of the Rabbinic Seminary in Berlin. He survived miraculously. He became a Rav in Switzerland for 22 years. Okay. At the outbreak of World War I, he escaped from Poland to Germany. So this goes back. Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Swedish age, was Knifter in 1966. At the outbreak of World War I, he escaped from Poland to Germany. Shortly after the war, he was in a shul in Berlin on Yom Kippur. As congregants were about to start Yizkor, a limousine with a police escort drove up to the shul, and out stepped Walter Rathenau. Does anyone know who he is? Walter, W-A-L-T-H-E-R, Rathenau, R-A-T-H-E-N-A-U-A. He was a Jewish industrialist who was the German foreign minister during the Weimar Republic. He was a controversial figure. Anti-Semites hated him. In 1922, he was assassinated. So this story takes place on Yom Kippur with Walter Rathenau and the Sridei Eish prior to 1922. So we're in the aftermath of World War I. On this Yom Kippur, Walter Rathenau entered the shul. He said Yizkor for his late father, Emil, E-M-I-L, and he left. Many congregants were furious. He parked in front of the shul. He davened for a few minutes and then he drove away. They considered his behavior rude and demeaning. After Rathenau left the shul, there was a tumult in the shul. People were criticizing his conduct. The Sridei Eish, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal, was upset at the criticism. And he stood up to say a few words. He began and he said, Chazal tells in Maseches Chulin that when Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Sheva to go to Charan, Parak Chav Ches, beginning of Pasuk Yod, Parak Chav Ches, Pasuk Yod, begins, Vayitzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayeli Charana, Vayivka b'makom vayolan shem ki ba'a shemesh, Yaakov davens tfilos arvis, he leaves Yeshiva Shem ve'ever, and he's going to daven. And Rashi tells us, and the Chumash, he had a sudden realization, Vayivka b'makom vayolan shem, but then he says, Ein zekim beis elokim v'zeshar shemayim. He davens there. Why does he daven? Because Yaakov says, it's quoted by Rashi on the Chumash, both my father and my grandfather prayed here on Mount Moriah. I have passed it and I didn't pray there. He realized the awesomeness of the place where Avram Avinu did the Akedah. He went back and he davened. Yaakov knew, said Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, that Hashem is everywhere. He knew Hashem could answer prayers wherever he is wanted, wherever one wants. However, Yaakov understood it's important to connect with one's parents in prayer. So he went back to the place where his father, Yitzchak, and his grandfather, Avram, davened, and that's where he davened as he was running away from Esav. Thus, said the Sridei Eish, Walter Rathenau should not be scorned to coming to shul to connect with his father in prayer. Even though he drove there, even though it was Yom Kippur, even though he davened short and then left, the Sridei Eish found justification, Eidan is called a Mekav Schus, for this behavior. Many years later, writes Rabbi Pesach Kron, Rabbi Abba Weinger was giving a lecture in Modi'in, Israel. In the course of his talk, he repeated this story about the Sridei Eish and Walter Rathenau. When Rabbi Weingart finished speaking, a young man stood up in Modi'in, Israel, many years later, probably decades later, And he said, I can't believe you just told that story. I am the grandson of Emil Rathen. I remember Walter Rathen came to recite Yizkor for his deceased father, Emil. I am the grandson of Emil Rathenow. My mother was Walter Rathenow's sister, the man who came to Shul, who violated the sanctity of the Holy Day, who only stayed to daven for a short time with a Swede Eishvan justification for it. His sister had this child. The young man went on to explain he had grown up non-religious, but he was once in an Orthodox synagogue in Germany. He was captivated by the melodies. That became the beginning of his inspiration to come to Israel. He eventually became a Chozer B'Teshuvah. Walter Rathenow himself, who was assassinated in 1922, never had any children. The Baal Teshuvah was his nephew, and he was the grandson of Emil, who Walter had come to daven for. Rabbi Weingart notes that when parents are mentioned during the Yizkor service, they are awakened in heaven, and a merit is brought to their souls. Who knows, says Rabbi Weingart, perhaps that tefillah that Walter uttered to connect with his father Emil on that Yom Kippur, as he drove to Shul, as he violated the holy day, as he was disrespectful, but he came for a few minutes, he tapped into the koch of tefillah, specifically by connecting to his father. Perhaps that caused him to merit a grandson that became a Chozer B'Teshuvah. So, just like tzedakah, we already quoted many sources, is one of the paths back to repentance, so too you see that tefillah is an integral part back to repentance. No wonder the Mishnah says, Al tas tefilascha kivah. It's not just that you daven to connect Hashem. It's not just that you daven to maybe get what you want, maybe not get what you think you want, but it's also to daven because it's one of the stages on the road back to Hashem. A part of the teshuva process, just like tzedakah is part of the repentance process, so too tefillah is part of the repentance process. How great is the koach of tefillah that this uncle uttered for a few minutes on Yom Kippur, that his father in Shemaya merited to have a grandson who became a Chozer B'Teshuvah because of those few minutes maybe of prayer. So tzedakah is one of the pillars that erases the Roa HaGzeirah. Tefillah is one of the pillars that erases the Roa HaGzeirah. And finally, we are left with Teshuvah. Each of these, by the way, really is a whole series. Obviously, Autumn, you lost sound. You can't hear? Can anyone else hear me? The people I could see, could you hear? Everyone says they could hear, so it's not from my end, right? The people I could see could hear me. I don't know what happened, but the people I could see could hear me, so I'm going to continue this year. Okay, everyone said they could hear, so as in, I don't know, you're okay now. Okay, fine. So obviously each of these topics is very extensive and a major aspect of Avodas Hashem, but we're having a small picture based on the three Mishnayos that I chose of how important each of these pillars are when it comes to being Ma'avir Es Roa HaGzeira. And finally, I want to quote in regard to Teshuvah. Such is the power of Teshuvah to remake a Yid. Sometimes we think Teshuvah means redo your entire life. Your whole life, all at once. Be more meticulous in your Shabbos observance. Start davening everything. Be 100% more tzanua. Go to 20 shiurim a week if you've only been going to one. Start asking shayas if you've never had a rav. Shmir seinayim. Don't go to the movies. Don't read books. Everything's going to be new. You're going to be totally different. It's not so realistic. The end goal is that hopefully, after decades of avoda, you'll be a new person. Step by step, slowly by slowly, we change who we are. How beautiful are your feet in your shoes, as the Jews were being Olah L'Regel, Shir Shirim 7-2. They will go up to be Olah L'Regel, step by step, foot by foot. That is beauty in Avodas Hashem. Someone who sets the goal too high, who thinks that at the end of Tavshin Pei Off, I was this person, and in Tavshin Pei Beis, I'm going to entirely change everything in my whole entire life. That's so realistic. I'm going to keep Chav Yisrael and Pas Yisrael and I'm going to wake up at 5:30 and I'm going to do his bodus in the forest and I'm going to say Tikkun Chatzos and I'm going to X, Y, and Z. You're going to fail. I'm sorry. You have to make realistic goals slowly, slowly, step by step. Choose a tangible Kabbalah that you can do and work on it. What is the power of even showing God small increments in change? Teshuva. I saw something that I never saw before. I don't know how it didn't dawn on me before. I don't remember where I read it. It was sometime over the weekend. You know, I talk so much about the root words, El Lashon HaKodesh. Teshuva is repentance. Teshuva means have a seat. Teshuva means return. It's so obvious. Teshuva is an answer. I think it may have been a mishpacha. Teshuva is an answer. Yesh li tshuva, yesh li ma lahashiv. Because teshuva, I think it was mishpacha, teshuva is the answer. You want to know the answer to fixing life and fixing your connection with God, repentance, teshuva, is the answer, the teshuva. So this is from August 18, 2021, mishpacha, Rabbi Hanoch Plotnik. Upon the passing of Rebbetzin Elyashiv, Allah HaShalom, a man insisted on getting an audience with the Avelim, the mourners, despite the difficulty of even getting in the door. He shared his story with Rav Elyashiv and family. This person had made Yeridah from Eretz Yisrael. He left Eretz Yisrael along with his family. And he settled in Canada. Sometime later, his daughter left the fold completely. She went to Europe. She eloped with a non-Jew, Rachman Alastan. She began a different life. 1 year shortly after Yom Kippur, news reached the father. Suddenly, with no notice or illness, the daughter had died in Switzerland. The distraught father got in touch with the local Chevra Kedisha to ensure Kivura Yisraelis, but they refused to bury her in a Jewish cemetery. She was totally unaffiliated and she was married to a non-Jew. Out of desperation, the man called Eretz Yisrael to speak to Rav Elyashiv. He wanted a psak, hopefully, that she could be buried in a Jewish cemetery. It was impossible to reach the Gadol HaDor. Somehow, he made contact with the Rebbetzin, and he implored her to bring the Rav his shayla and plea that his daughter should be buried as a Jew. Sure enough, the Rebbetzin managed to bring the shayla to the great posek. It just says, I don't know if she asked the Gabbai, whatever. And Rav Elyashiv wanted to know one thing before he paskened. What did this woman do on the last Yom Kippur of her life? Incredibly, it was discovered that on the last Yom Kippur of her life, she had gone to Ne'ilah for a half an hour. Based on that, Rav Elyashiv ruled the Chevra Kedisha should bury her with Kavura Yisraelis. We're not in the situation that woman was in. But like the Rav says, we're all in prison from sin. We all need a ransom. We all have our own struggles with our own Yetzer Hara. Tzedakah demonstrates, I'm paying my ransom. I am not selfish, which I am when I'm beholden to sin, but rather I am giving to others. Tzedakah demonstrates the knowledge that this all comes from Hashem. Zuz. You know why money is called Zuz, says the Medrash? Because it passes, Lazuz. It moves from one person to another. Make sure you're a link on the chain where money is moving. You saw the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. If you give and you want others to give, you're a chassid. Tefillah, how great is the power of tefillah. Al tas tefillacha keva al arachim v'sachanunim v'fnei makom baruch. You can't even contemplate 1.5 hour of tefillah that it gave Emil Rathen of the Zchus, that he had a grandson who was a chozer b'teshuvah. Imagine the koch of your tefillos to change the gezeirah and shamayim. Furthermore, it is one stage on the path of repentance, says Rav Pesach Kron. And finally, teshuvah, and I understand and I know that each one of these topics deserves its own shir series, never mind its own shir. But on Yom Kippurim, when you say uteshuva, utefila, utzedaka, ma'avir nesra ha'gzeir, make sure each of those are relevant to you. Make sure you have engaged in each of those aspects. Make sure you have made yourself into a baal tzedaka. You can't say I already gave enough. It's tafshin pei beis. You didn't give anything unless you gave today on some gedalia. You didn't have the opportunity to give an aleph and beis. Tefila, put your heart into it. And finally, teshuva, yafa shah, achashel, tshuva, maisim tovim, ba'olam haza, mikol chayei ha'olam haba. Because teshuva means to repent, and teshuva means the answer. Because teshuva is the answer. What did she do on the last Yom Kippur of her life, said Rav Elyashiv, the Gadol Dor? She went to shul for half an hour for ne'ilah. She was zoche. For that half an hour, those here who rate teshuva, that act of repentance, to kavura Yisraelis. So, Alavai, we should be zocha that our collective teshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah shetaka be ma'avir nesro gzeira for all of us, our families, Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, this shir should be an aliyah, not aliyah neshama, a zchus refuah shalema for Esther bat Malka Brina, sponsorship from Adam, and refuah shalema for Achanan Pesach ben Sarah, Shlomo ben Saradina, and Tuvia Moshe ben Perel from our friend Gail Hoffman, and also we wish Gail Mazel Tov on her 53rd wedding anniversary, Kein Yerbu, Ad Kmeya, Ve'esrim Shana. I wish everybody Gemar V'chassima Tova. Before you get off, I need to ask